This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here, White House, Tennessee. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. The maestro, Mike Palm, going to join us a little bit later on right there from Las Vegas. But lots to get to, getting ready for a little tee times as well here in the Travelers. And that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
So, Jensen, we did see some big news overnight with Austin Reaves getting a new four-year extension there in Los Angeles. And again, I don't know if this is really going to move the numbers. The Lakers are about 30-1 here to win the NBA title. So maybe a surprise that they're going to give big money to Reaves. But I don't think you and I look at this and say, oh, this makes me now want to rethink the Lakers' position out West.
I think it's an absurd amount of money for a guy that when you look at where, you know, the positional spots as far as shooting guards right now, Dave, only Desmond Bane, Paul George, Zach LaVine, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards now with a higher total value of dollars than Austin Reaves. Hey, great for him. Happy that he made the money. You could not have drugged me to the bank to make a withdrawal to pay him that kind of dollar value. So good on him. Doesn't improve the Lakers for me in the kind of the hierarchy of where we are in the Western Conference. So hit some SpaceX investment right there, Austin Reaves, and then enjoy retirement once this contract is over with.
It seems like the gif of the dad getting the same shirt that he's already wearing, right? We're getting Austin Reaves again. All right, let's see how it improves us. I'm not quite sure how it's going to. Let's get to the Travelers here, getting ready to get underway there at Hartford. It is the last elevated event, and Jensen, kind of historic, if you will. If you've enjoyed this, this was the new model under Jay Monahan. He's the outgoing commissioner. You're not going to see this model anymore. We're going to go back to cuts and going back to kind of, if you will, the proper standing in the world of golf, but this is one of those rare no-cut events here in an elevated event. I gave out some of my picks in the last hour. Please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books. Jensen, let's get to your full card that you have here at the Travelers.
Yeah, we'll start with the first-round leader play on the defending champ, Keegan Bradley. I got it boosted. If you are a DraftKings customer, they are offering a 4-1 improvement off of the odds that you currently have in that market. So I got Keegan from 44-1 to 48-1, a guy that traditionally starts fast and, of course, loves his home course here. So love that value and an opportunity for him to get going. Scottie Scheffler at minus $1.02, Tommy Fleetwood plus +310, a top five finish market bet for both those guys. Those include ties on DraftKings as well. Justin Thomas plus +230 for a top 10 finish. And then I went with your guy, Luda, Ludwig Oberg at minus $1.56. And I also went with Russell Henley. You know, maybe it disappointed some people this past week at the United States Open. I think he rounds into form here. Approach always a big deal at TPC River Highlands there in Connecticut. So minus $1.06 for a top 20 finish. And then we did go for a full unit play also. If you are a DraftKings customer, I believe it's a 20 or 25% boost for at least a three-leg top 20 finish parlay. So I went right to the top, my man. I went Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, and Patrick Cantlay, who has always played well here at this tournament. So I like those three. That it got boosted from plus +250, Dave, to 3-1. And again, we are about 10 minutes away from Ryan Fox and Matt McCarty teeing it up there. And again, we'll be very anxious to see how guys, especially that played last week, were in it to the end. How do they react here in the first couple of rounds at the last elevated event for the PGA Tour this year?
And again, we've got some same names, if you will. I'm all over Russell Henley this week. I love that play. I think Russell is going to bounce back in a big fashion. He did, of course, make the cut, but he was nowhere to be found, as we saw on the top of that leaderboard, which I think a lot of people, that surprised some people at Shinnecock. I think he'll be around this week. I did play Luda for first round leader at 25-1. I do not have Oberg on my outright card, but I do have him for low European. I think that's a sneaky play. Check your books if you can find that play. I really like it. Without Rory McIlroy, yes, you got to contend with Tommy Fleetwood. And I think Fleetwood will be around this weekend. He plays this golf course very well as well. But I think Ludwig's going to get off to a good start. And if he's itching to get back in there, and yes, he's had good top 10s, good top 5s even, But I think last week a little bit disappointing. I think this week he'll play a little bit better. And I'm looking at J.J. Spaun, also former U.S. Open champion, who did not make the cut last week at Shinnecock Hills. I think he'll be around this week and even a better golf course that should fit his profile. So I'm looking for J.J. and Russell Henley to bounce back along with the big Swede. Okay, let's get to some World Cup, because normally, Jensen, I think we'd be so excited about Turkey against the United States here. But now that the United States has already taken care of business and they've already advanced out of their group stage and kind of maximized here, I guess now it's almost like prevention in this match today here in Los Angeles against Turkey.
Turkey is now officially the pronunciation, but it's because they will be exiting stage right after this one. Two defeats already for a team that has had a wealth of opportunities to score, just have not been able to get it across. No goals so far for Turkey. They have conceded three. I would imagine the United States will rotate a handful of guys that have one yellow card, Dave, out of this match as to avoid any potential disqualification in the round of 32. They've already qualified, as we know, as the Group D winner. It looks like, barring something unforeseen, that their round of 32 matchup will be against Bosnia, who had a big win over Qatar, a little high scoring affair yesterday, as Bosnia looking to qualify as one of the top eight third place finishers. Still a lot of implications here today in the group stage matches. We'll talk about that upcoming with Chris Basile. Already punched their ticket to the knockout round, Dave, as far as group winners. Mentioned the United States, they won Group D. Switzerland yesterday defeating Canada won Group B. Mexico, as we know, one of the first to punch their ticket, they won Group A. Brazil, big win yesterday, they win Group C. Argentina has not given up a goal since you and I were kids at this rate. I mean, they've been unbelievable. They win Group J. And Germany in action today. Meaningless game, meaningless match for them. They have won Group E. So those are your group winners. And then we have three teams that have qualified as second place finishers for the knockout round. South Africa is in, Canada is in, and Morocco. They are all through right now. So we have nine teams already into the knockout bracket, and more tickets will be punched later on tonight.
We got some struggle cities here. Obviously, it's been a struggle all year for the Mets. They get swept yesterday in a double dip against the Cubs, and Kodai Senga was one of those guys, and he had to get moved to the bullpen. It was so bad here, Jensen, and it's been bad when your ERA is over 10. But the Cubs, if you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV, you see what they did with the graphics department. They put a little Band-Aid over the Cubby Bear. Maybe they got some help here, Jensen, in the form of David Peterson from the Mets, the big lefty coming over. So you play a double dip, and then you trade away a starter. I guess it's reinforcements for the Cubs, and I'm not saying it's waving the flag, but not a good look here for the Mets going forward.
A bit very tough, right? And their prized offseason acquisition, Freddie Peralta, who goes tonight, has been anything but great in his tenure there with the Mets. I would like to take the Cubs tonight. Even money was the best price that I found on the money line on Novig earlier this morning. They are $1.05 right now on DraftKings. So Matthew Boyd returning from the IL, he will get the start for the series finale. And I got to tell you, don't pitch if you're a New York Met hurler. No reason to pitch to Dansby Swanson at all today. 15 RBI in the first three games of this series. Good God. He's a one-man wrecking crew over the Mets pitching staff for sure.
It's been an absolute disaster. By the way, a shameless plug, please like, subscribe also to First Strike, the podcast with me and Rob Moreno here in the Network Weekly. We're having a ton of fun with it. Had Dan Vreeland on the program this week. Gumby Vreeland's fantastic. Breaking down UFC Baku. You got to get up early stateside here to watch this one over the weekend. And we've got some really good plays on that. But we also know on the heels of Freedom 250, people are already looking ahead to a couple weeks away from Conor McGregor and what we're going to see with Max Holloway. And this number keeps coming down, down, down. It's something I discussed with Dan Vreeland.
This is not a knock on you if you're new to First Strike, if you're new to UFC, this is not a knock. But we understand that this fight card, while it's sexy to people like you and me, might not be to the masses. Then we go back to Conor McGregor against Max Holloway, and boom, here comes everybody else into a fight like that for obvious reasons, name recognition, history of the sport, all that stuff. How are you sizing that up? Because when the numbers came out, I felt like, what am I missing? I got to back Conor despite the layoff at how big he looks. And we've seen Max sometimes be physically overmatched. And then as we've gotten closer, the money has come in on Connor. The numbers have come down. I'm almost wondering, is it a price point play now on Max that we could look at and go, ooh, he might just be able to piece up Connor. And now that the numbers come down, it seems a little bit more advantageous.
Yeah, I think that, and I think the under is really in play. I think the possibility of him getting Connor McGregor out of there is really high. You know, we mentioned the layoff. We mentioned, you know, the fact that he's been beat up. Is his head in the game? You know, there's so many, you know, question marks around Conor McGregor. But the one thing that we don't have a question mark is Max Holloway knows how to put an insane pace on people, a pace that nobody's ever seen before. And now you're telling him he barely has to cut weight. You're going to tell him that he can basically come in at his walk around weight and put one of the most impressive cardio fights you've ever seen together. I think this fight will wind up at the end of the day looking like Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar. I think it is going to be a 400 strike showdown, and it might only take him two rounds to get there. I think he's going to put a pace on Connor that Connor is definitely not ready for. And especially like a bulked up Connor too. If you put a pace on him, what's his cardio going to like look like 7 minutes into that fight? I can't imagine it looks great.
I mean, I absolutely love that breakdown. It's gents, I'm starting to change my tune on that fight. We'll talk about that here as the number keeps coming down. Conor McGregor is now inside $2. He opened, Jensen, about $3.50 in the betting market on the plus side. Here is down to about plus $1.95. So the money keeps coming in on Conor, and that makes me take a harder look to the Max Holloway side. And certainly after hearing Dan Vreeland's opinion on that, and that he thinks maybe the under, which is set at 2.5, is in play. Fascinating. We'll get much more detail on that. But please like, subscribe to UFC to First Strike here on the network. All right, when we come back, let's get to baseball, the Daily Diamond Edition. You got some good plays for the people out there. That's next on VSiN by the Book. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out right now. So whether you're betting those features, win totals, divisional races, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Super Bowl, and beyond, the guide is going to get you ready before training camps even begin. So you're going to get breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, power ratings, and so much more. It's just $175 right now. And when you get that, that gives you full access to everything we do through the Super Bowl next February. So that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, going to have the maestro, Mike Palm, join us from Las Vegas in just a little bit. But Jensen, we got a lot to get to here. A busy day, getaway day in Major League Baseball. Let's discuss it all right here in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Is it still the best rivalry in sports, Jensen Lewis, the Red Sox and the Yankees? Because I think, you know, Duke UNC might have a claim. I'm sure there's other rivalries in the NFL we could get to. But when it is the Yanks and the Sox, there's still going to be bad blood, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not the best rivalry. It's not even close. But we'll get to some actionable spots here for tonight. The pitching matchup is going to be really good. And yes, on one side, Cam Schlittler, your short shot to win American League Cy Young. He gets the ball tonight. Connelly Early, the young lefty for Boston, has actually been much better than advertised in some spots. This situation really renders us to an under and a couple of very glaring statistics in favor of that. We'll start with the Yankees, Dave. As a road favorite, they are 23-13-2 to the under So 10 games over 500, if you will, to the under when they're a road favorite. That's the case tonight. A significant one, minus $1.54 at Circa, where they are at this point. Boston as a home underdog, almost equal to the task here. 10-5-1 under the total when they are in that situational spot. We're going to play the under 8 at minus $1.17. Shop around for your best price. I know there's a lot of 7.5s already out there. So if you have to buy up for a little bit of insurance there, just trust me, from last night, you want to do it. The total's just just crushing us by a half run yesterday in what would have been a monsterful, profitable day. Still a profitable day. But either way, let's go the under 8. Let's also take the Red Sox on the run line, Dave, and it's a very affordable price. I found them at minus $1.15, getting the 1.5 at Novig. And another way to reinforce that for you, again, the Yankees are a road favorite, but they are 500. They're 19-19 covering the run line when they're in this situational spot. Again, the Red Sox have had a pitiful season thus far, but when you see the Pinstripers come across and you see the road grays there at Fenway Park, something inside just clicks, and hopefully that's the case in this series opener there at 7:10 Eastern tonight.
I agree with you. I just like Feisty Jensen when you disparage the Yankees and the Red Sox combined and say it's not the greatest rivalry, not even close. How about the A's and the Giants? That's a good rivalry out there in the Bay here, Jensen. But again, it's been a long time since I think both teams certainly would like to be relevant. I know one team could be relevant this year. The Giants, not so much. What do we make about this one here out there in the Bay?
Yeah, you got two teams that one has struggled mightily. We know the Giants have, right? So they're actually 500, winning the first couple of games of this series. They are 5-5 in their last 10, but still 13 games under 500. The Athletics, who at one point a week or so ago, Dave, were in first or had a share of first place in the American League West, they have now fallen a little bit. 7 of the last 10 they have lost, including 4 in a row. They will try and stay above 500 here in the series finale, at least on the road, sending Jeffrey Springs to the mound today. Now, Landon Roop is on the other side. Total is 8.5. Dave, I don't think we are going to have a lot of resistance on the pitching side here. So I did buy down to an alternate total. I took the over 8 for a juicy minus $1.49. So Athletics and Giants over 8 in the series finale at Oracle Park. Both these pitchers have a tendency to allow some balls to travel. And Dave, much different of the handicap there. The marine layer at night kind of keeps the ball in the ballpark. Day games there at Oracle, you tend to get a little bit more scoring. I think that's the case today. Let's spit the hook. Let's buy it down to over 8 at minus $1.49 there in the series finale between the Athletics and Giants.
I do also love how you just put in that new credo. You're like, man, I got burned on that hook the last couple of times. We're not playing with fire here. Let's buy this down to $1.49 here and play over a very smart man. Strohs and Tigers here. Boy, it looks like Detroit's getting back to solid footing here. What do you make of this matchup today?
Yeah, they kind of they stubbed their toe against the Yankees, who dropped game one of that series with Gerrit Cole on the mound, but then were able to rally to win the last two and take the series. But Detroit enters play today, 7.5 back of the White Sox and the Guardians for the top spot in the American League Central. Houston has actually turned it on here a little bit. They won the series north of the border yesterday against the Toronto Blue Jays, so they've got some momentum coming in. They will send Tatsuya Imai to the mound tonight. He's coming off his best outing of his major league career, punching out 11 Cleveland Guardians in his last start. I like the under 9 here at minus $1.19 for the Astros and the Tigers game one of this series. And what you're looking for here, Dave, I think the momentum for Imai continues tonight. I think you also look at Troy Melton getting the start for the Detroit Tigers. Dave, of the 5 starts he's had at home, 4 of them have gone under the total. He's been pretty good at run suppression with the much more spacious Comerica Park to work with. So I like the conditions here. It is 8.5 at a lot of places. So again, our credo, I bought up to the under 9, but still at Novig, the best price that I found, minus $1.19. So again, you're getting a couple of cents relief there on some of the prediction markets. So again, shop around for the best price available wherever you are. But I think we'll get a little more run suppression between these two starting pitchers later on tonight.
You just mentioned the word momentum, and one of those baseball axioms, Jensen, as you well know, is momentum is only as good as your next day starting pitcher, right? But is that a real thing? Because I think people kind of casually throw that aside in baseball, say it really doesn't exist. You've been in those clubhouses. Sometimes you do get on a streak, right? And that momentum is tangible.
Oh, my. And so much in that if you get swept at home in a double dip, day-nighter, long day at the yard, usually the next day does not end up being one that goes your way. Okay, Freddie Peralta is going to get the ball for the New York Mets. Matthew Boyd coming back off the IL for the Chicago Cubs. When I saw this price on Novik at even money, I had to jump on it, just knowing that the Mets, even though we've had a fair amount of scoring yesterday, they have had no answer for Dansby Swanson. They've had no answer for the Cubs offense early, middle, and late in games. And I think some of the numbers tonight will probably lend you more to my argument. Freddie Peralta has an 8.24 ERA in four starts in June. Now, if he finds it tonight, I'll tip my cap. But in this situational spot, when the Mets are a home favorite, they're underwater a pretty decent amount. They're only 11-15 straight up. So an even money price on a team going for a four-game sweep, absolutely, all day, and a little extra icing on the cake here. Matthew Boyd comes back. I don't know if he dominates, but he certainly gives the Cubs a fighting chance. And I think the Cubs offense takes advantage of a beleaguered Freddie Peralta. Even money, money line play on the Cubs at Novig today as they go for the sweep tonight at Citi Field.
We do a little stock up, stock down here each week on this very show. And the stock really can't be a whole lot lower for the New York Metropolitans at this juncture. We mentioned the trade, David Peterson, spot starter, long guy. He's now going to be with the Cubs going forward. When you see a move like that, does that resonate in a clubhouse as well? Now, I know that Francisco Lindor is back, so that's going to be good for the Mets to get him back, putting him in the two-hole there. But that small little move, Jensen, because I think people are going to start looking at the Mets and saying, what are they going to do before the trade deadline if it stays the way it's staying? Steve Cohen is not the type of guy that you would think traditionally would sell, but you mentioned Peralta. Bo Bichette, rumors about whether he's going to opt in or out of that deal. What do you think the Mets might do with some of these bigger pieces if this losing continues?
Well, I think the team that you look at, or at least the names that you look at, certainly are the veteran guys. And, you know, is Sean Manaea a left-handed starter that people would pay an acquisition cost for? I think that could be the case. The back end of the bullpen's actually been pretty good. Devin Williams has been good. Luke Weaver has been good. Oscar Brazoban has been excellent for them. Yep. I don't want to jump the gun. I traditionally don't do this when you look at where the wild card situation is. But the Mets and the Giants and the Rockies are all nine or more games out of a playoff spot. Let's call a spade, Dave. The Mets have lost five in a row, seven of their last 10. I tell you this all the time. If you're a week out of a playoff spot at the All-Star break, let alone a week before the trade deadline, that's usually white flag territory, and I think the Mets creeping ever so closely to that line where they've got to make that ultimate decision.
Yeah, they're in the 2 weeks back category right now, as you mentioned here, nine plus. It's getting worse on a daily basis. But Lindor is back, so everything's going to be fine, apparently, going forward. All right, when we come back, we always love catching up with the maestro here. Mike Palm joins the program. We'll see what the liabilities are for Team USA as they continue to look good here in this version of the World Cup. That's next right here.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Circus football contests are open for business, and you don't have to live in Vegas in order to play after your required in-person registration. Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the United States. So Winner Circle Proxy is Visa's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnercircleproxy.com. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Always look forward to catching up with our guy Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate Casino. And of course, give him a follow on X at Circa Maestro. Kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Mike, we're just talking about the contest. Jensen and I, very excited for our second foray into millions. How are the numbers coming along? Are they on pace for what we're expecting for this big year?
Yeah, they're pacing really well, Dave, and good morning, guys. The Circa Millions has now surpassed last year's pace. I know it was a little behind the first 2 weeks, but last year, this date, we had 277, and this year we have 412. But the Survivor has really been strong. 2025, same date, 975. We're already at 1637 for Survivor, so about 70% up there, and three grandissimos so far.
Ooh. All right, wonderful news. Okay, speaking of updates, anything you guys have taken early NFL future-wise, Mike, that has created maybe some liability you didn't anticipate? Are we getting that slow trickle now as everyone's starting to get through World Cup fever and eventually will turn their attention to college and pro football?
Yeah, it's been kind of slow as far as NFL futures go. We haven't really taken many big bets, Jensen, and I think that does have to do with normally NHL, NBA wraps up their championship series and we see people focusing a little bit more. But this year we have the World Cup, and I think everyone's immersed in that. I'm seeing, you know, some of our bigger bettors who bet, you know, NBA and NFL and college football and baseball are really getting into this World Cup. So it took a little bit. It took, about a week and a half of the action, but now it's really picked up.
That's exactly where I wanted to go next, Mike, with the World Cup. And you're seeing some big bets coming in. So if they're not coming in yet on the NFL futures, you are getting them currently here as we're in week three here of this World Cup. What are you seeing? Because last night, I believe you guys took a pretty big bet on Scotland. And sadly, for that better, it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, six-figure bet on Scotland plus 1.5 goals. That was a good result for us, obviously. And even when the second goal for Brazil was disallowed, it didn't take too long for them to answer again. I'm concerned today, guys. I have to tell you a little behind the scenes here. You know, there's one of our larger bettors who has not made a World Cup bet yet, but wants to make a six-figure bet on this USA game today. And you know, we had a long discussion about how much we wanted to take. This game is like a glorified friendly to me. We already know the USA is going to be playing on July 1st in Santa Clara. We know Turkey's out, what changes they're going to make in their soccer program. Obviously, they thought they would be first or second in the group at the worst and at least be advancing. So there may be some heads rolling there in Turkey. And I'm just would you take six figures on a spring training baseball game? I mean, to me, that's like what this is. This is an exhibition, and maybe because, well, the U.S. wants to keep this momentum going, right? But it doesn't matter the result. They're slotted into the bracket where they're slotted into the bracket. So I think there's, you know, you have to, you know, we can say we take X on every game, but you have to look at the weight of the game and the liquidity of the market and stuff like that. So we'll see what they end up doing. We said after they announced lineups that he would be able to place his wager. And I guess I can let you guys know next time I talk to you, but it scares me a little bit.
No, I'm totally with you. I know some have said it's Turkey IE. No, it's Turkey yay. No, they are headed home and more shots on goal that didn't get through. It felt like they just had every opportunity, but it didn't get through. Mike, let me parlay off of that because you mentioned it's kind of a glorified friendly there. Similarly, in our early window, or at least 4 p.m. Eastern, Curacao, Ivory Coast, they're both out, nothing to play for. Germany is the group winner, but Ecuador is fighting for one of those top eight third place finishing positions. They're currently 11th in the standings, and they kind of have to win and get some help. Are you seeing of the matches today outside of the United States later on tonight at SoFi Stadium, anything that's ticked up knowing we've got a couple of these matches that maybe for one team, no implication, but for the other, they certainly need to win and get some help?
Yeah, well, that's a classic case in Ecuador, and I'm one of the people that backed Ecuador and, in fact, laid $1.75 that they would make it out of the group, and they're in a really, really difficult spot, only having earned 1 point and now having to go up against Germany. The good thing is that Germany is slotted in again, right? They know where they're going to be playing. They know their spot, and, you know, Ecuador, it's interesting here because you can get Ecuador on the three-way here at plus 425. Ecuador, you know, it's desperation time for them. The draw does nothing for them. So there's a couple of ways to look at it. You know, you can look at taking a shot on Ecuador before the match here. I know they've been a very good defensive team, but I hate to mess with an under on the total here. If Ecuador gets to a spot, let's say the game is 1-1 late, you pull your goalie, right? I mean, it's not unlike hockey where you're going to bring everybody up in you know, the last few minutes of regulation, or if you have a corner, if you have a set piece, and if you lose possession to Germany, it's going to be a goal the other way. So there's some situational things you have to look at. The final stage, the last group, the third game of all these groups, do provide some good in-game betting opportunities.
Mike, you mentioned that you're going to take that bet once you see the lineups here for Turkey and the United States later on tonight in L.A. I'm seeing this number dance around. Remember, this opened, what, 60, 65 to 1, then down to 40 to 1 after their first match win. And now they beat Australia, and they got as short as 28 to 1. It's bounced back to 33 to 1 for the United States. Are you seeing people still investing in the United States thinking they can really make a deep run here?
Well, we definitely are. And I think a lot of it is you could call it patriotism or some sort of a national pride in the U.S., but they've been the team that's moved the most in terms of down, shortened odds of anybody in the entire pool. So we continue to see the money. I don't know how much of an effect. I mean, if they beat Turkey, does that make them have more momentum going in? I think they will get a pretty good draw their first two games. And so I think it's conceivable here that they will make it to the quarterfinal. But we haven't seen them go up against a good team, or at least we haven't seen them go up against teams that have played well. Paraguay was awful in their opening match, and I thought Australia did not play well either, at least compared to their 2-0 victory in their first game. So they really haven't faced much adversity here. Being able to score early and play from in front makes a huge difference.
I would agree. One final thought for you on where we are, because I know a lot of people have looked at it and said, barring something unforeseen, it looks like Team USA will match up with Bosnia in the round of 32. And then their pathway, some have compared where Team USA could potentially make the quarterfinals to what the New England Patriots playoff route was last year, just Swiss cheese in the first couple of matchups. But will that be a spot too, where you kind of look out and remind me, Mike, what you've invested in futures wise, because I think that's part of the handicap where Dave and I were looking at it saying, I jumped in on Team USA at 35 to 1 to win it all, knowing full well I'd probably want to get out of that position if they found their way to the quarterfinal or at least make some money off of it. Is that where you kind of stand on maybe some of the other teams that are in position to make the knockout round and potentially advance decently far?
Yeah, so I bet two futures in terms of winning the tournament. I bet the Netherlands at 20 to 1, and I bet Norway, who looks great, at 30 to 1. But I also bet both of them to make the semifinals. Because if you look at the bracket, I figured Norway would finish second to France. And if they're second in that group and the Netherlands wins their group, then they would not meet until the final. So those semifinal bets don't cancel each other out along the way. And by the way, Norway was 6-1 to make the semifinal and the Netherlands was plus 370. So I'm looking to get into a position, if I can get them to the quarterfinals, I can take a monetization bet, knowing if I would lose that bet, I've won the semifinal bet, and then I'm in a position to monetize to win the title bet. So I feel decently about both of them. I'm not happy about Ecuador. I'm probably going to lose that bet to advance. And then I need Austria to win their last game because I also have them to advance out of group.
All right, got about 30 seconds before we have to take a short break before Palms Preston 3. Mike, with us being the host country, not to say that this was by design, but was it by design to kind of have this pathway to make USA make a deep run?
Well, I mean, you look at how the groups line up, too. I mean, they've gotten a very favorable Canada. I thought Canada got a very favorable group. The bottom two teams in that Canada group, just absolutely awful, you know. And I say Bosnia is not good. You know, when you talk about the U.S. playing Bosnia, Bosnia is probably the worst European side. And obviously Qatar was there because they had hosted previously.
All right, that's very interesting. But again, we're going to take it, Mike. We're not going to say, hey, we want tougher competition. Because if we keep winning, we're going to get that tougher competition is coming. That's for sure. Okay, when we come back, one of, if not the highest rated segment across the entire network. It's time for Palms Pressing 3. That's coming up straight ahead after a very short break.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books on this Thursday morning. And Jensen, that means that we always have the maestro Mike Palm on with us. And that means it is time for you, sir, to be on your toes. It's time for Palm's Pressing 3.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palm's Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
And every player dreams about making it to the major leagues because they think that's the finish line. But the truth is, baseball is always moving. New stars emerge, records get broken, and before long, you're no longer the current story. You become part of the game's history. I'm curious, do players ever think about how they'll be remembered? Not the statistics or the championships, but whether a teammate says, that's one of the best guys they ever played with, or he was an overlooked but vital part of our team and was a great leader. And here's what really fascinates me. Is there a point in every player's career when you stop chasing the personal accolades and realize the legacy you leave in the clubhouse may outlast anything you ever did on the field?
I think of the great Moneyball movie quote from the cross-checker scout that told Billy Beane in the family, most of us are told when we can't play the kid's game anymore. There's only a handful that get to go out on their own terms and even more so be immortalized in leagues, respectives, Hall of Fame. So I don't know if you ever think about the end. I can speak from personal experience. I didn't think that I'd be done, you know, at age 29. I figured I'd, at least in my mind, my goal was a nice 10, 12 year big league career, enough money to never work another day in my life outside of getting my golf game in better shape. But again, the game comes at you fast. It is unforgiving. It's a cutthroat business, and you're not promised tomorrow. And so I think what was unique is I was able to be around early in my career a lot of exceptional veterans who reinforced, don't take any day for granted. The day that you don't get to put on the big league jersey anymore is maybe the one you'll remember right next to when you got the call to go to the show. Because it's something that changes your life, and it's never the same after that. So, Dave, I know that you've had the opportunity to talk with several different walks of life, several of the greats too. And I think the introspection for a lot of those guys who have played their respective sports as long as they have, like you see the appreciation. Like when you get older, like it's hard to get up and get going and doing what 23, 24-year-old kids just roll out of bed and do. So you don't really sit there and think, how am I going to be remembered? I think you just appreciate more so as you get later in your career, the opportunity to take the field and put on the jersey every single day.
Absolutely. That's why, again, in my line of work, Mike, I'm never going to retire an athlete. As long as they want to play and the people want them to play, their employers want to get them out there and put that uniform on, play as long as you can until you can't play anymore.
Question two, Jensen. I thought there was a potentially very significant game flying under the radar yesterday in Major League Baseball. How important was Joe Ryan's performance at Target Field against Shohei and the Champs in determining what teams are going to be willing to offer the Twins for Ryan before the trade deadline, or was it just one data point among dozens of others over the last handful of years?
I think that's one that you're going to look at. And for people that need a veteran presence, teams that are looking to kind of solidify rotations, of course, we know that Tarek Skubal will still be that most sought after, highest on the echelon guy as far as starting pitching goes. It was important in that, you know, hey, these are the LA Dodgers. They're rolling right now, and they're kind of doing what you expected them to do from day number one. I would also look at the American League, Mike, and Dave and I have had a lot of discussion about where teams are. The Minnesota Twins are just two games out of a playoff spot, yet they're six games under 500. Every American League team that is not in a current postseason position has a horrific run differential to the negative outside of the Tigers, who are just minus six. So I think what's unique is we're getting closer. And Mike, this will be a fascinating conversation to have with you after the All-Star break. we have about a 7 to 10% chance right now that an American League team will qualify for the postseason with a sub 500 record. That is wild to say out loud. And the Minnesota Twins with Joe Ryan are still in position with a sweep, a good week, to find themselves in a playoff spot because, Dave, of the topography of where we are just in the American League postseason picture.
Yeah, six games under, but they've lost the last three to the Dodgers. And Mike, to your point about Ryan yesterday, six innings, eight hits, four earned, only one walk, nine Ks. That ERA is down to 3.18. So would be interesting if they decide to wave the white flag. But to Jensen's point, boy, you're just 1 week away from being around 500 here and still in the mix for a wild card here in the American League.
I think someone leaked Jensen Lewis to pressing three because question three is about to reach Scooble. Jensen, he's made three starts since his return from the IL after his quote-unquote experimental procedure. In 16 and a third innings, he's given up 16 hits and nine earned runs. How concerned are you that he will not be returning to his two-time defending Cy Young form anytime this season?
Yeah, it was part of my bold take in our VSiN MLB betting guide right up before the season, Mike. I had predicted that Tarek Skubal would get hurt in the middle of the year. It was a bit earlier on the injury front than even I anticipated. He did find his way back in record time, and I think that's great for the Tigers organization because it finally, when healthy, at least gives them the leverage that they had headed into this season. He's going to be the most sought-after starting pitching trade candidate on the market if he's healthy, which he is right now. They're five games out of a playoff spot. They're 12 games under 500. The Tigers are. I don't know if I'm as concerned for the player. I am more concerned if I'm an acquiring team because it's going to be a significant amount of capital. And with the backdrop, guys, of not knowing the guardrails of what eventually this next collective bargaining agreement is going to be, you are essentially mortgaging some major future chips for the opportunity to acquire this player. Yet this player in this offseason is looking to reset the starting pitching total value of a contract market and also the average annual value. We've already seen that the starting price could be upwards of $400 million, $450 million. Are you willing to commit? I mean, the Lakers just gave Austin Reeves almost $200 million. In what world does that make sense? None. And if you're going to look at Tarek Skubal, hey, the track record is what it is on the field, but you've got multiple injury issues to the throwing arm now, and you want to commit $400+ million to that? Good luck. It's not an investment I would make, but there are going to be teams that get enamored by that August 3rd trade deadline and say, we're willing to take a shot here, not knowing kind of what happens after this year.
And what's fascinating too, Mike, about a case like Skubal here is you wonder if the Brewers from yesteryear when they did the CC Sabathia rental to try to get a player like that. I'm looking at the Mets and Freddie Peralta and what they just gave up to get Freddie, and yet he could be gone before the year's even over if they trade him before the deadline. So there are a lot of players that are going to be in that boat. It's like, how much capital do you really want to give up now for a rental? But historically, we have seen some of the smaller market teams do that. I wonder if somebody would do that knowing that they will not re-sign Skubal and just make a run for it now before we see what baseball is going to look like next year.
All right, Preston, 3+1, Jensen. If you've got a future on the White Sox to win the division, mine's 25-1. Some people have it higher. I bet it the day Skubal went out. After the series with the Guardians, they're tied atop the American League Central. Guardians, three at home against Seattle, three at home against the Rangers, and then a four-game series hosting the White Sox. Guardians, even money to win the division. Is it time to buy back on that White Sox future?
I think it is. I'll be honest. I think the vibes are right. I think if they can get it corrected away from right field there, that tells me all I needed. They have held serve at home, 26-13. The White Sox are at home. Only the Tampa Bay Rays have more home wins in the American League than the Southsiders do right now. Now they're 10 games under 500 on the road. If they can get that anywhere close to the midway point, man, they're in great shape. And they can score. And they've done it with withstanding the Munetaka Murakami injury. They're going to be active at the deadline. Chris Getz got a chance to go in. I'm with you, Mike. I think the White Sox got as good a chance as anybody to win that division.
So disheartening not hearing any Kansas City Royals talk in the last 2 minutes. Mike, you're the best. We appreciate it. Check him out if you're there at Circa in Las Vegas. We'll have him back next week right here for another rousing edition of Palms Pressing 3. Okay, Jensen, when we come back, we got a lot to get to. And again, what goes up must come down. Stock up, stock down. It's coming straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Bookies.